We're checking in again with Quincy City Council President Councilor at Large Nina Liang for a rundown of the September 21st City Council meeting. Hi, Nina. Nice to see you again.
Hi, you too.
Here we are, still working remotely, and you are really remote now. You're on the wheels.
My car, I think, has become like a second working space. But as we had said earlier, I am parked. I am not driving while we're doing this. You know, there's no like, you know, any That's movement right. in the background, as you can see. So we're being safe.
We're not advocating zooming while driving.
By yes, any... there should be like a little PSA at the bottom of this. Don't zoom while driving.
That's right. But there was a full council meeting. Started with the Finance Committee meeting. So if you could maybe give us a little rundown on what happened there.
Yeah, so the Finance Committee meeting was to discuss the building over at Old Colony Ave. And that was a discussion that we had had at the prior meeting, also in Finance Committee, and this is just a follow-up to that.
Okay, and what was the outcome?
It had passed.
Okay, and I know it was an 8-1 vote. Do you have some of the financial concerns that Councillor Mahoney has regarding the city's finances during the pandemic?
Absolutely, and I think, you know, to be not too presumptuous, but just based off the conversations that we've had, you know, at the meetings and then, you know, before and after that as well, is that we all share that concern. You know, I really do believe that. I think that, you know, this is something that we have been really grappling with since the beginning, right? 6 months ago. And even before then, really, if you think about it, with everything that comes in front of us, you know, that it was always a top priority to us. And so this is very much front of mind. And I think that we all expressly want to make sure that the city's finances are in a good place moving forward. And, you know, that was considered going into this meeting last night.
Okay. So have you heard from maybe parents or educators about this project and how they feel about it?
Yeah, throughout the course of the entirety of the conversation with this, and we were able to have conversations back when we were able to meet in person as well, which was really helpful to inform this decision moving forward.
Sure. So is there other items on the Finance Committee, or was that it?
It was just that item last night. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the full council meeting after that. We should mention the council meetings are also still being held remotely.
They are, yes. And again, that is at the discretion of the body and, you know, wherever their comfort level is going to be. But for me personally, you know, these meetings, all of our council meetings have and will continue to be open to the public. And so realistically, you know, I want to make sure that we are also creating a safe space for those who want to participate. And it's actually really encouraging and really interesting to see that we're having more participants come on from the public to these Zoom meetings and to the council meetings that we're having. So for those who are out there tuning into this, if and when you are available to tune into a council meeting, you know, via Zoom, now that it's remote, I encourage folks to do so.
Yeah, I think it's the convenience factor with anything you do online today, right? It's right there at your fingertips in your own home.
Or in a car that's not moving, you know?
Exactly. I know that you heard from the police chief last night. What was that all about?
Yeah, so this is actually an effort that Councilor Pramucci had put forward that we're all really excited about on the council. It's just an opportunity for us to take some time and some space as a body all together to, you know, publicly express our thanks and gratitude to folks who really stepped up during this pandemic. And so it's going to be a series of gratitude moments for us at the beginning of each council meeting. We started with the police department. We're going to be moving forward at the beginning of each meeting with different folks who will be coming on for us to, again, have an opportunity to publicly thank them for all of the work that they're doing. So stay tuned. It'll be, again, something that we're doing at the beginning of each meeting moving forward right now.
Well, okay. So is it just city departments or other parts of the city too, do you think?
You'll have to tune in and see. It's going to be a variation of not just city departments and city employees, but also in the private sector, private businesses and also residents in the city as well. So it's going to be a range of different groups and people. And again, I do encourage folks to tune into that. I think, again, it's an opportunity for all of us to express our thanks.
A little teaser there, a little promotion to attract some viewers to the council meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
You did begin the regular meeting with another appropriation request from the mayor, speaking of first responders for new communications equipment.
Yes. So currently the tower is over at the old Quincy Hospital site. And as that is coming down, we do need to relocate that. That's actually one of five different locations that are across the city. But this is the main radio tower in transmissions for not just the Quincy Police Department, for also the Quincy Fire Department. And so they're looking to relocate that to right next to where the dog park is. And that came in front of us yesterday. But again, that's moving into finance that we can further discuss that.
Oh, okay. Very good. Mm-hmm. I know communication is critical. We learned that the hard way back during the 9/11 attacks on the country. So I'm sure.
100%, Joe. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the interesting thing that we were able to hear about yesterday as well, it's not just a relocation that is being applied here with these costs. It's also an upgrade to the system as well, which is, you know, as you're saying right now, like, critically important for whatever is to come. So.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Moving on to the designation of polling places for the November 3rd election. Mm-hmm. Were those approved?
It was. And I will take this opportunity to, I don't think we can say it enough, thank Nikki, Nicole Crispo, and everyone in the elections department for their work on, frankly, all of the elections happening this year. I think it's an incredible undertaking every single year, but more so this year. And so, you know, this work isn't done lightly. There's a lot of care and a lot of thought that goes into this, primarily this year, not just with access, but with everyone's safety in mind. And so to that point, the second thing I wanted to make sure to mention with you today, Joe, and sharing this to the public, is that the polling location where 1007 Artery normally is. So if you normally go to 1007 Artery to vote, they are moving that to Clifford Marshall. And that's the only change that we saw yesterday. Everything else, including that, was approved. And the reasoning behind that, again, is just making sure that we're considering everyone's safety. You know, 1007 Artery has a senior population, and we want to be very front of mind of how many people are going to be coming in and out of that building on such a busy election year. So we're going to be moving that over to Clifford Marshall, and whether or not that's going to be permanent moving forward will be, again, a decision in the very good trusted hands of the elections department. And we will know that well ahead of time as well. And I guess a third thing, which I didn't say earlier, but now that it makes me think about it, you know, with that work, the clerk, Nikki, and again, the elections department has done the due diligence of making sure that notices are being sent out individually to folks who generally vote over at 1007 Artery, that it's being moved. They're also going to be posting it to the Ledger, to, you know, the Quincy Sun. They're going to be working with you guys to make sure we get the notices out as well. They're doing it in multiple languages, which I really appreciate too. So, you know, they're doing everything they can to make sure that, again, not only is everyone safe when they're going to vote, but that they also have, you know, access and ample notice as to where to go to vote.
Okay, well, it's a very vulnerable population, especially with this current pandemic. So obviously safety is first concern. I know Nikki was anticipating upwards of a 70% turnout perhaps for November 3rd. So that's significantly higher than the primary for sure.
It would be wonderful, so we'll see.
Yeah. Okay, so that was approved?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very good. An order that you placed on the agenda, Nina, regarding designating city employees as special municipal employees. What is that?
Yes. Yeah, so again, this is an effort put forth by Nikki and the elections department, but essentially it's all hands on deck when it comes to the elections. Again, particularly this year, with it being a presidential election year, and then with the addition of the mail-in ballots, with the absentee ballots that happen every single year, and again, ensuring everyone's safety day of, and making sure that we have enough hands to address any issues or make sure that there are enough people to serve any issues that come up along the way. And so essentially what happens is make sure that anyone who is not typically in the elections department but is hands on deck and working on election day is noted as such.
Okay, and what does that entitle them to?
It designates them as an election employee for that day.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, so okay, gotcha. I know, because, yeah, right, elections employees are the ones that need to be at the polls, basically. So you have to be an official to be at the poll, working at the poll, right?
Yeah, and then there's people, of course, we still want to ask and encourage. And this is why I love coming on your show, right? Because it's opportunities like this, actually, to put out a PSA to ask any folks who are comfortable working at the polling locations to please reach out to the elections department and or to Nicole Crispo to sign up for that. I encourage folks who are able to speak multiple languages to please step forward and do that as well. You know, it doesn't have to be the entire day, 7 a.m. when the polls open to 8 p.m. But if there is any time that folks are able to give, the more people we have helping this election cycle, the better. So I'd love to put that plug in there today with you as well, while I'm with you.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, no, they're going to need as much help as they can get. There's additional early voting leading up to this current election, in addition to the mail-in ballots, to the absentee ballots, and the in-person voting. So they're going to need all the help they can get, I'm sure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
We took an item out of order here and talk about Councillor Pamlucci's resolution, actually, to ask the Elections Department to ensure that people are able to vote by having multiple locations, perhaps, and multiple ways to do that. Was that discussed last night?
It was. And, you know, this is, again, an effort for us to ensure that the Elections Department and that Nikki has everything that they need to, you know, basically have all the tools possible to make sure that everyone in the city can vote and has access and feel safe voting. And so it was a resolve to really explore what are the other options for potential drop-off boxes, secure drop-off boxes, who does that involve? How do we work with QPD to ensure the safety and security of those votes? And really, you know, my understanding of this resolve, which I appreciate from Council Pamunchi, is to protect everyone's vote, you know, to make sure that it is anonymous still, you know, that your vote is your vote and it shouldn't be anybody else's business and that is protected. But that also, your vote counts, you know, it's not going to get lost and it's going to, you know, arrive on time and that it's going to count. And so that's really the impetus for this, is making sure that, you know, we can do our part to help contribute to that conversation and that we can, you know, find out from the Elections Department and folks who are setting these things up to really see what else can we do? You know, what else can we do and what else can we explore to make sure that with these mail-in ballots, with the early voting, with the absentee ballots, that every vote is counted and that it's safe and protected.
Yeah, I know there was an amendment. Could you explain what that was?
Yeah, so that was something that I had brought up, and then Council Pamunchi had also made an amendment to that. And it was just the first half of that, you know, talked a little bit more about the post office than I was comfortable with. I think that, you know, while nationally there's certainly a very large conversation right now about what's happening with the U.S. Postal Service, you know, again, it's not that we're insular to this necessarily. I, you know, chalk it up to the people who actually work here to make sure that we don't have those problems. And, you know, we've had an incredible team of people at the U.S. Postal Service here in Quincy that worked with the Elections Department well ahead of time to ensure that those issues didn't actually happen here in the city. And we saw that, you know, the positive results of that with the primary election. And so I wanted to make sure that the language of the resolve didn't include anything that could be taken or misconstrued any other way. It certainly wasn't, you know, anybody's intent to say that it had anything to do with the Postal Service. Again, the intention behind this was to make sure that we are securing everyone's vote in the safest way possible. And so the amendments were just to make sure that the direction and the focus was on that.
I see. Okay. Was this something that Councillor Harris was able to vote on, given he's the manager of the Quincy Center Post Office? Was there a conflict at all?
You know, he was very careful to make sure to be respectful of that conflict, but it was really informative for him to just be able to explain what the process currently is and what they had done up until this point and what they are looking to do. So it was really helpful to hear from him and to hear that perspective.
Right. Yeah, I know for the primary, the Elections Department worked with Councillor Harris to make sure that the mail-in ballots, you know, were arriving on a timely manner. So they sorted the ballots themselves, essentially. Did the, you know, the post office a great time saver, and that was probably part of why things were going so smoothly.
Yeah, I agree. And again, you know, he's he has said nothing but great things about the team that he works with to make sure that that happens. And so it was really helpful, again, to hear from him what steps he and his staff and team have taken to make sure that it was successful in the primary. And I'm looking forward to, you know, a successful November as well. With 75% turnout, it's going to be a lot of work for him and his team, for sure.
Indeed, yes. So can we talk a little bit, Nina, about the ordinance to regulate short-term rentals in the city?
Yes, I'm really excited about this, actually. And so this is something that, as you can see, a number of us on the council had signed on to support. Councillor Phelan had brought this in front of us, and Councillor Harris actually has been advocating for this as well for quite some time. And so I'm really grateful that we all had the opportunity to sign on to support this order. And there's a few other items that were parsed out just because, you know, the way it works logistically, you have to parse out certain pieces of it. But there's about four items in there that all tie into a conversation about Airbnb and how we're going to regulate that here in the city. And so I think this is a very long time coming. You know, the state legislation, or the state legislature, I should say, has been working on this for quite some time. And so I do want to take this opportunity to give them a shout out for their work on this. I think, you know, for a number of years, actually, they have been really pushing this effort forward to make sure that they are protecting residents of cities across the Commonwealth, you know, about what's happening with this Airbnb and what's that process. And, you know, I've heard from a number of residents who live in buildings who worry about the safety concerns with this. You know, if, for example, you don't know how many folks are in a particular unit, it could be a fire hazard. If, God forbid, something happens, you don't know who's in that building, if there's pets, if there's children, You know, so there's that aspect of it. The safety aspect is hugely important, you know, again, for the state legislature, I believe, and for us as well. The other piece of this is obviously the tax implications, right? Because at the end of the day, an Airbnb is a business. You know, you're making money off of it, regardless if you're renting out a room or your entire unit or your house or multiple units. And so that's something that we also want to look at as well.
Okay. So that, I'm assuming that went into committee.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would there be, would the city stand to benefit, you know, financially from this?
I would have to, you know, go through these meetings first and really get an understanding of what that looks like, you know, if and how we can tax, what that looks like for returns on us, and then does that go to the general fund, and, you know, are there certain coffers that that should be designated to? And so I can't say right now a definite yes without having that information in front of me. But from what I do understand about it, I do see it as a benefit. Obviously, if it's going to be tax dollars that are coming into the city, that's always great. I do want to also be respectful, of course, to those who need this as a source of income. You know, I'm not trying to deplete them of what helps them put food on the table and a roof over their head. And so we have to keep that in mind as well. And so I think if we can come to some understanding of this where financially it doesn't hurt anybody and it benefits the city, that's always the best outcome.
Okay, sure. I know there was some discussion about asking the administration for a 5-year capital plan and outlook as to the city's priorities in the future. Is that something you think is important?
I do. And this is something that gets updated every single year. And so, you know, we've seen a number of capital improvement plans come in front of us, and it's a living document. You know, it continues to change over time. Certainly will change now with the consideration of the pandemic as well. And so that is something that we're going to get an update on this year as well in future meetings. I think the next couple of meetings, we should be getting that update in front of us.
Okay, great. When is the next meeting, by the way?
Monday, October 5th. We're in October already. I'm in denial a little bit about that.
Today's the first day of fall, so it's coming.
It is. You're right. I'm in denial.
It's going to be different, certainly. This coming weekend would have been the Arts Fest weekend at Adams. Yeah. Field. So, yeah, that won't be happening either, unfortunately.
But there are things. You just made me so down.
Anything else we should add today, do you think, Nina?
No, let me just take a quick look. So it was the Airbnb elections. No, that's all we've got.
You know what you and I have been talking about lately, although I talk about it with Representative Chan all the time, is the census, the federal census. And I know that you're a big proponent of asking people to please participate in that because the deadline's approaching.
Yes. And thank you for beating the drum on that. I feel like, you know, most of the time when we're talking, you're always making sure to mention that so that people tuning in can remember. But yes, absolutely that. And today's National Voter Registration Day. So that too, you know, this is the time. This is the time. Fill out that census. And, you know, for those who get it in the mail and see it as, you know, you have to do this, you have to do this. You know, it's critically important for the next 10 years for funding to the city. You know, when you fill out a census and the federal government comes and looks and says, okay, you know, based off the population, what needs do you have? That's determined by everyone filling out the census. You know, if they look and they say, well, Quincy's only got 90,000 people versus Quincy's got over 100,000 people, that significantly impacts the financial support we get. So yes, please, please, please absolutely fill out the census. This locks in numbers for the next 10 years of support that we're going to get. 10 years. So it's critically important, 100%.
Yeah, 2020census.gov is the best place to go. You can do it over the phone. You can do it by mail. And it takes very little time. It's 10 simple questions. There's no request for any money or any, you know, bank information, anything like that. Anything that does ask you for that is a scam. So avoid that. And I know that there are door-to-door census takers in the city going around right now. So you know, if they come to your house, ask for some for identification and go ahead and respond.
100%. Yes. Thank you.
How should folks contact you, Nina, if they have questions, concerns?
They can always find me on Facebook, on Twitter, at my email, nliang@quincyma.gov, or they could always give me a call directly to my line as well, 617-376-1358. So they can call, text, whatever they'd like. Just don't do so while you're in a car that's moving. That's it.
That's right. And we hope you are legally parked.
I am. I'm in a 2-hour parking space outside Congressman Lynch's office, and I've been here, what, 30 minutes, maybe less than that we've been talking. So I'm in a good place. But I have been seeing, actually, as a side note, more folks walking around giving tickets from the TPAL department, which I so appreciate. I certainly don't want to get a parking ticket, but that was one of the things we wanted, right? Is that we set these rules up for parking for a reason, to support local businesses, make sure people aren't parking here all day taking the T. And so that's been really good to see, is folks walking around and making sure that everyone's abiding by the parking laws here.
And wearing their masks, I hope, too.
100%. Yes. Always. Yes. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Nina.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to connect. I always appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We'll catch up again after the next meeting.
Sounds good.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Bye.